It's the Jay Cardiello Show on Radio MD.
RadioMD.com.
Here's Jay Cardiello.
It appears that injury and exercise go hand in hand. But do they have to go hand in hand? Joining me today is Dr. of Physical Therapy Michael Carpenter to help us understand, if I'm exercising, if I'm engaging in fitness, does that mean that I have to have an injury? Dr. Michael, how are you today?
I'm doing wonderful. How about you today?
Oh, great, Dr. Michael. You know, I want to share this with you personally. I've had 13 major surgeries as an athlete. You know, everything getting my fused spine to knee surgeries to the list goes on and on. And when I say that to people, and I'm now in the fitness industry and wellness industry, people say, oh, that's why I don't work out, because I don't want to get injured. It almost scares people when they think about exercise, because they always think I'm going to get injured. Well, let's tell them, can people avoid injuries, getting hurt, when they want to engage in simple exercise or a fitness activity?
Absolutely. You can minimize your risk in a number of ways. One note, when you mention people say that that's why I don't work out, I always think, well, if living healthily is expensive or a challenge, try living unhealthily and see what happens later down the line.
It's so true. It's so true. And I always tell people, you should work out, you should stretch every day, not only for releasing mental stress, but what happens if you fall down? What happens if you get in a car accident? You know, those who are in better shape reduce their chances of severe injury in either of those cases. Now, in your practice, in terms of exercise, in terms of running, in terms of fitness, what are the top fitness industries or injuries or activities, injuries that you see that are out there?
Well, moving from the bottom from the top, I see ankle sprains, anterior knee pain, low back pain, rotator cuff dysfunction, and neck pain as pretty much the top ones I see all the time. And most of these actually can be related back to our sedentary lifestyle and how we are sitting way too often and way too much and allowing certain asymmetries in the body to occur.
That's very interesting, because sitting, we're averaging right now, it's like 7.7 hours of sleep. They're actually, sitting, it's actually the new smoking. They're saying static sitting, or prolonged static sitting, is the new smoking. And not only raises diabetes, it raises cardiovascular illness and disease, it actually can reduce injury. It actually can increase injury, because you think about it, asymmetrical, your body's off balance. And if you're sore after a workout and then you get in that fixed position, you're sitting there, Dr. Michael, what you're doing is you're building muscles around the inflamed area. So it's very interesting you said that. So let's go at the sitting. Let's attack it right there. What can people do to decrease their chances of exercise injuries while they're in a seated position, say at your desk?
Well, nowadays, a lot of people are moving into more of the active sitting, where they're either sitting on an exercise ball or sitting on a surface that actually makes them engage in a better posture. Some people now are going into the standing desk or even just getting up every 30, 45 minutes so that they're getting out of that position. Another thing that we can do is also think about the muscles and asymmetries that typically develop with sitting. And typically what I see with individuals is that they have weaker legs, weak glutes, tight hamstrings, tight hips, a tight or immobile thoracic spine, and rounded shoulders. So if we address loosening those areas up and strengthening the weaker muscles, we're going to prevent a lot of the injuries that occur once we become active.
That's interesting, because think about it. Say you go out for a long run first thing in the morning. That's where you de-stress getting ready for work. Then you jump into your car or you jump on the train. You sit for, say, a half hour, 45 minutes through traffic. Then you sit in your chair for roughly 8 hours. That compound sitting in your tight hip flexors, your tight back, the rallying of the soldiers, that actually is enhancing your chances of injuries for exercise. So thus, getting up, stretching out throughout the day is really going to have a big impact or help you out to reduce your chances of exercise injury. That's interesting. Now, in terms of another big place that we spend a lot of time, sleep. You're sitting 8 hours a day. What about sleep? What do you think people should think about in terms of sleep, and how much sleep do we actually need to help reduce injury?
Well, we want to make sure that we are properly rested. A lot of healing in our body occurs during sleep, and we want to get, you know, the average American is not getting the 8 hours of sleep that we have seen recommended over and over and over again. But if we're in that range of 7 to 9 hours, we're going to get the repair that we need. And another thing that you want to think about with sleeping is also the posture within sleeping. A lot of people, you know, curl up into the fetal position, and that, if you think about it, is enhancing the rounded shoulders, enhancing the tight pectoral muscles, enhancing the tight hip flexor muscles. So it's another thing that you need to think about, is actually giving yourself the proper sleep hygiene as far as posturing in order to get the proper rest and healing that we need.
So in terms of sleeping, do you figure the person should then sleep on their stomach or on their back?
Well, some people, I don't necessarily recommend them sleeping on their stomach because it could develop neck problems down the line. I typically recommend side lying with pillow or some type of body support between the knees to keep their back from getting pressure on them at night, or laying on their back. But it's all about the proper support.
That's interesting, because I never really thought about when you curl up in the fetal position when you're sleeping, it replicates what you're doing all day while you're sitting. Interesting to note, too, people really never think about enhancing or increasing your chances of exercise injury when you're sleeping, because they think about rest. But if you're in a fetal position and then you go sit at your desk, all you're doing is a compound attack at the hip flexor, rounding of the shoulders and your lower back. That's very interesting. Now, the big argument is, it's very hard for me to sleep 7 hours. I don't have time. I have the children. Okay, let's fast forward. Your day started. What impactful nutrition things that people could do to help decrease their chances of injury? What could they put in their diet?
Well, you want to minimize processed foods, for sure, and you want to make sure that you're not intaking too much sugar, too much salt, and in some cases, dairy. There are also some things that you can use as far as maybe spices that can decrease your inflammation, because if your body is inflamed, whether you have some type of intolerance to some type of food or because you're dealing with some other stress in your life, you may want to increase the anti-inflammatory spices or foods that you're intaking. I know that one of the journals recently put out a list of some medicinal spices that can help, which include cloves, cinnamon, oregano, sage, and thyme for their anti-inflammatory properties.
Dr. Michael, this is the million-dollar question. You talk about inflammation. The million-dollar question is ice or heat. A lot of people say, I ice after I work out. No, you're supposed to heat after you work out. Then I've heard, well, ice helps reduce inflammation and it helps you recover faster, reduce your chance of injury. So ice and heat, when and which is better?
I usually only use heat when there's already some type of injury that has occurred, or there's some type of tightness in that muscle that needs to be addressed specifically. Ice is going to be my go-to thing. A, yes, if I have an injury, I have any swelling, it's going to decrease my inflammation. B, it is also going to decrease my chance of soreness down the line. But also, it is almost more impactful in the body than heat, because the heat, all it does is bring that rush of blood to the area one time. Ice, your body temperature starts to get low in that one particular area. Your body then rushes blood to the area. That blood gets cool, and then more blood gets rushed to the area. So you actually get more effect of flushing the system with ice.
So can then my listeners take away from this and saying, after each time I exercise, I should ice?
If you want to prevent injury and prevent inflammation, that's a great plan.
I like that. I think I'm even going to do that after I'm done sitting after this segment. Dr. Michael, thank you so much. Where can people find out more about you and whether it's heat or ice?
You can find me on social media at Carpenter Health or at my website, carpenterhealthandwellness.com.
Thank you so much, Dr. Michael. To learn more about fitness injuries, you can always go to my radio show page at radiomd.com. Until next time, I'm Jay Cardiello, sharing my wellness strategies for helping you get off the scale right here on Radio MD. Stay well.